This information is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with regard to the subject matter covered. It is offered with the understanding that the presenters are not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If legal advice or other expert advice is required, the services of a competent professional should be sought.
Welcome to the Boston Real Estate Investing and Real Estate Financial Planning Podcast. Learn all about investing in real estate in Boston, Massachusetts, with a combination of real estate financial planning and modeling with numbers specific to Boston, plus syndicated, more generalized recordings of live and pre-recorded real estate investing classes, not all of them specific to Boston. Be sure to stay tuned after the podcast for a message from our sponsors.
Well, good morning and welcome, everyone. I am your host, James Orr, and today we have a very special class. Today's class is how to analyze deals where you're going to have private mortgage insurance. And at first, you might be thinking, wait a minute, James, you know, you're really doing all this stuff for real estate investors. Why are you talking about private mortgage insurance? Because, you know, if we're going to go buy a property as an investor, we're going to probably have to put 20% down or 25% down. We're not going to have private mortgage insurance at all. Well, not so fast. There's a whole group of real estate investors called house hackers who move into properties and they usually rent out part of their property. And those guys are going to have private mortgage insurance in a lot of cases. If they put less than 20% down, they're going to have PMI. Also, there's a whole group of real estate investors called nomads who buy properties as an owner-occupant, move in, live there for at least a year, and then they convert the, then they move out of the property, convert the previous one to a rental, and they repeat the process to acquire rental properties. And a lot of those folks are also going to have private mortgage insurance. And there is a group of real estate investors who buy non-owner occupant, in other words, investment properties where they're not moving into them, and they decide to pay the PMI and the higher interest rate in order to only put 15% down to buy their loans. And so those two would also have PMI. And anyone who is buying a property creatively, like subject to or at a lease option or something like that, where the seller put less than 20% down and they still have less than 20% in equity, they are very likely to have PMI as well. And so you'll want to know how to analyze deals that have private mortgage insurance on them. And so that's what we're going to walk through. We're going to walk through how to use the world's greatest real estate deal analysis spreadsheet in order to analyze a property that has PMI. And there's really three ways to model PMI because there's three different ways to pay PMI. There's the one-time lump sum upfront PMI payment where you just pay one big fixed amount upfront when you get PMI. And in that case, it's really easy to model. We'll show you how to do that here in a second. And then there's another one where you get the lender to increase the interest rate that they're charging you. And we have the lender pay almost a one-time upfront lump sum PMI payment on your behalf in exchange for you voluntarily taking a higher interest rate for the life of the loan. So that's option number two. And then the third option is where you pay your PMI monthly. Your private mortgage insurance, you just pay it monthly. And in most cases, that would drop off after you got to a certain loan to value. Let's call it 80% because that's really probably the most common one. So once you paid down the loan and the property value has gone up and you've exceeded an 80% loan to value, and by exceeded, I mean that you've dropped below 80% loan to value, then usually the PMI will drop off, with the exception being FHA loans. FHA loans usually, there's some exceptions if you put more down, but usually FHA loans, the PMI does not ever drop off. You need to sell the property or you need to refinance into a different loan product in order to get rid of PMI with FHA. And so we're going to handle how to do the deal analysis on all three of these examples, and then I'll also show you how to do it with FHA because FHA is a little bit different. So we're talking about the world's greatest real estate deal analysis spreadsheet. I'm going to use this as an example as to how to do the modeling, how to do the deal analysis when you're analyzing the spreadsheet. You can get a copy of the spreadsheet by going to realestatefinancialplanner.com/spreadsheet and just go ahead and register for the Substack and we'll email you a copy. And you want to be on the email list because there are changes to this thing. Sometimes we find a little error. Sometimes we have to fix something. Sometimes we make an adjustment because something changes. Or sometimes we just put out a new version with updated information. So be sure to actually put your primary email address and so you'll be notified to do that. If you're going to use a different spreadsheet You got to make sure that they're doing the calculations correctly. There's a couple of them that it's not going to really matter that much because they're pretty easy to model. The one where you're going to get caught in a lot of cases is where you pay it monthly, because most spreadsheets are not analyzing. They're not taking into account that your PMI drops off after a certain point. So make sure that yours is doing that correctly if you're going to do it. All right. So let's talk about how to do the one-time lump sum PMI payment. This includes putting the one-time lump sum PMI payment in the closing cost field. It's this field that I'm pointing to right here. So, we've zoomed in on this area. I kind of forgot to mention that. This little red area is where we're primarily talking about in the spreadsheet. So all I've done is zoomed in on this, because all these other things will automatically adjust and these things won't matter for analyzing PMI. So I'm really just zoomed in on this. So if we look at the zoomed in area, the section we do when we have a one-time lump sum upfront PMI payment, where we pay it one time upfront, that's a closing cost. And so we just add that fee, whatever it is, as an additional cost to close on the loan. So if your closing costs are normally whatever it is, 1%, you get that from your lender, normally 1%, and your PMI payment is 2.2% of the loan, then you'd actually go ahead and just add that to the 1%, and you'd put in here, 3.2. And you put in whatever the lender tells you the correct amount is. We did a class on how to calculate PMI yourself. But as I mentioned in that class, even though I showed you how to do it, you should just call your lender and get the right number, because they're the ones that are going to be charging it to you, and they're going to give you an easier way and a more accurate way to just calculate it for yourself. Okay. So if we're doing the one-time lump sum upfront payment, put it in closing costs, and that's it. You're done, because there's nothing that rolls off. You pay it upfront at one point, so there's nothing to change. You do it at the beginning. That's all there is to it. Nothing really complicated there. What if you say to the lender, Mr. or Mrs. Lender, I would like you to increase the interest rate and actually pay my PMI for me, lender paid PMI. Well, you would just adjust the interest rate here. Make sure your closing costs are the normal amount, whatever you have from the lender, but you're not going to pay an upfront fee there. You just put in the change of the interest rate. So your interest rate was normally, 6.75, and the lender charges you, whatever that is, a half, let's guess it's 5/8 of a percent in order to increase it. You put in there, 7.375. Just ask the lender what your new mortgage interest rate is when they've raised it for you, and they're going to pay the PMI. And then you just put that in there. That's how simple it is. There's nothing that adjusts. That interest rate lasts for the life of the loan. So it's not like that's going to go away after you get to like 80% loan to value. So that is one of the downsides of doing the lender paid PMI, is that even though it may be a little bit cheaper in your monthly payment upfront, it doesn't ever go away. It sticks around for that full 15-year or 30 years, whatever the term of your loan is. In this case, we did a 30-year loan by 360 months, but you could say so. You just put in the higher interest rate, and you're going to pay that for the life of the loan. That's how you'd calculate that one. The next one is when you calculate it monthly. And so for the monthly one, you'd include the monthly PMI payment in the private mortgage insurance field. So you're going to enter in what percentage in order to get this number. So sometimes the lender will tell you what the percentage is. Most lenders, I think, are probably going to tell you what the actual dollar amount is. So you'll have to kind of play around with this in order to get it to match whatever you're putting here. So you'll go ahead and put the PMI percentage in here. The input field is the percentage number, and that will calculate it for you. And then usually, unless you have something different, in most cases, your PMI is going to drop off once you get to an 80% loan to value. And so you want to make sure this field says 80.000, 80% loan to value. Some lenders are going to tell you, look, it drops off at, around 78% or whatever they do. Just put in whatever they tell you, and the software will actually calculate that correctly based on whatever number you put in there. So put in 80% unless you don't know otherwise. And if you are getting an FHA loan, we're going to cover that here next. So for FHA loans, there's two different things that happen. With an FHA loan, you have both an upfront PMI payment, which they call mortgage insurance premium. It's basically MIP, which is really just another version of private mortgage insurance. So they're going to charge you an upfront mortgage insurance premium, and it's usually 1.75 points, but talk to your lender. Don't just automatically go and assume that my numbers are correct. You want to talk to your lender, because sometimes these things change. Like, they changed earlier this year and they actually got improved. So definitely check with your lender to make sure you're using the most correct one. Don't just rely on my numbers. But go ahead and put in the upfront payment in your closing costs. And in addition to that, they also have a monthly component for their mortgage insurance premium. And so that goes here. Your monthly mortgage insurance premium also goes down here. And that's usually 0.55. So it's going to be both those numbers. And because this is an FHA loan, and FHA loans, the monthly mortgage insurance premium, the monthly PMI never goes away. It doesn't matter if you pay down below 80% loan to value. It never drops off. You have to sell or refinance the property, get rid of it. We put down this drop PMI LTV. We have to set that to zero because it doesn't go away once you get to 80% loan to value. It goes away when the balance goes to zero and then it no longer exists. So that's why we have to do multiple things for FHA loans. They're just a little bit more complicated. So you have that upfront closing cost one, you have the monthly one, and you have to adjust your drop PMI loan to value when you do that. Okay, so in conclusion, lenders prefer you to put 20% down. However, if you push hard enough, a lot of lenders will say, hey, listen, we'll do a loan for you if you put less than 20% down, but we will insist that you actually go and get a third-party insurance company to protect us in case you default because you put less than 20% down. We want to make sure we're protected. So you'd have to pay this third party, a private mortgage insurance company, a fee in order to protect them, the lender, in case you default. It's a third-party insurance company to protect the lender because you put less than 20% down. So if you're going to analyze a deal where you put less than 20% down, or the seller that got the loan that you're taking over got put less than 20% down, make sure you are analyzing your deal correctly by putting the PMI in the right spots, depending on whether you did an upfront one, a lender paid PMI where you increased the interest rate, or a monthly one. All right, that's all I got for you. I hope you enjoyed this short class on how to analyze deals that have PMI. This has been James Orr. Have a great day, everybody. Bye-bye for now.
With home prices up, mortgage interest rates up, and rents up, but not quite enough to counteract the higher prices and interest rates, cash flow on rental properties in Boston is harder than ever. Book a call with the Real Estate Financial Planner to apply our proprietary 88 strategies to improve cash flow on your rentals. See the show notes for a link to schedule your call and improve your cash flow today.
If you're a real estate agent, lender, or professional in Boston that wants to help our real estate investor listeners, consider reaching out to learn about collaboration opportunities with this podcast. We'd love to add more value to our listeners by having you assist our investors buy, sell, and finance their real estate investments. See the show notes to schedule a call to discuss collaboration opportunities.